Welcome to Education Currents, a show designed to provide educational news and commentary from a Christian worldview. The greatest resource any community has is its children. And by providing for them the best possible education, we are providing for ourselves and future generations. Join us as we explore the latest social and political issues surrounding education today.
Welcome, welcome. I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and I'm here with my loving producer, Michael Gamblin. He faithfully works and edits these programs every single day. We've been talking about the great American public school, and we acknowledge that part of America's greatness is that education is given to all. There are very few countries where every single child is given free and appropriate education. That in itself is a remarkable
thing. Well, wait a minute. Back up a second here. You're saying that every country in the world does not have free education for their kids?
Yes. And those countries that do have some type of educational system often have paths. So a child starts under a lot of pressure from a very early age to succeed so that they can get into the good schools. And then those students that aren't so gifted by their standards are put in a path that goes to a different type of school.
Or they just don't send them to school at all, then, it sounds like.
Well, some countries, some third world countries are like that. So America, in its effort to educate its population, has done a great thing. I mean, it's to the benefit of the republic to have everybody be able to read, write. How do you vote if you can't read a ballot?
Yeah, that is true. And how do you drive if you can't read the road signs?
Yeah, so things that we just take for granted in our overall literacy of this country, other countries have not had.
And yeah, because I remember when we went to Taiwan, I could not driven very successfully in Taiwan because I couldn't read the road signs. I did not know Mandarin.
Yes.
And so I can understand if even in this country, if you can't read, you're missing out on so much.
Yes. Now, the previous show, we talked about 11 facts of the public school system. And one of the fact was that all of the schools started out teaching family, religion, and community. You know, so Boston Latin School, when you say that, it has the word Latin in it. That was part of the religious instruction, was that people would be able to read the Bible in the Latin Vulgate. And that's something that I know I can't do.
No, I can't either.
So I have to trust that the translations of the Bible are the correct ones. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit today about one of my other schools that really has had a profound impact on me. It's a high school. It's an inner city high school, and I had two candidates there. That one was a PE coach and one was a history major, and they were both studying to become principals, so they were principal candidates. And the first time, I remember you took me there and you dropped me off and you said, "I'll be right here." And I was so glad, because I walked in, there was an armed guard fully packing and had to go through all of my stuff. And I felt really happy that I could maybe run back and jump in the car. I was not so sure about this thing that I was doing. So once I got through the security, then I had to wait in a room until the principal candidate came down. That's the man that I was going to observe and everything. Came down, and we had a nice time talking, and we went and looked at everything that he was doing, and we set up our time to come back when I would actually observe him teaching a PE class or observe him leading out in some administrative tasks like an IEP meeting or a committee meeting for planning an event, you know. So we got our act all together. And then I left, Well, the next time that I came, I got there, and then they decided to close school. So I left right away. That happened to be April in 2015. And this is in the city of Baltimore. What they did was, and I don't know if I can explain it without maybe going into some of the detail of what had happened at that point. It was just off from the funeral of Freddie Gray. If you'll recall, he had been injured by
the transport wagon.
Yes. And this day was his funeral day. So at 11 a.m., they had the funeral for Freddie. And the casket holding his body was loaded into the hearse. And then a flyer from a local high school had been circulating prior to this. And this flyer said that there was a purge scheduled for Baltimore. Now, those of you who know about the film series called The Purge, it's where, in order to cut down on the statistics of crime, these big cities would call a purge, and just for that day, they wouldn't do any policing. They just would let the lawlessness transpire, and so they would suspend all the laws for a 24-hour period. So this flyer is going around in this very high school that I'm observing at, that there's going to be a purge in the city. By this time, dozens of policemen are gathered in the streets of Baltimore. It's about 3:30, and I'm heading out. I mean, I'm safe. Praise God. I'm safely out of there. But I noticed that they had an early dismissal, and these kids were scared. There was no busing. They just let these kids, and there were 3,000 kids in this high school. They just let them out into the streets. The kids were scared. They had plastic bullets shot at them by the police, and they retaliated too. And there were some, I'm sure, some gangs and, you know, some bad people too, but it was just thousands of people and thousands of young people put out, and all the high schools in that city had been told that it was a purge. That I know there's a word like dystopian society, which is a type of lawlessness. So you had all these kids let loose. They didn't have any way to get home. And it just, the crowds began to surge. At 3:34, protesters began to confront the riot police. And that's when they were throwing bottles at police officers and journalists. And CNN even had cameras showing a police officer being carried off. It was a very scary day for a lot of young people who were totally innocent. But because this flyer had gone around about a purge taking place, they feared for their very lives. They didn't know whether they would be victims and have no recourse because all the police were busy doing something else. My point is that Hollywood is really wreaking havoc on our public schools. Maybe they're wreaking havoc on our young people in general. Because when you feast on this type of information and then someone takes it and writes a news bulletin and puts it all over these high schools and says there's going to be a purge, in other words, there's going to be lawlessness, and all the things you've seen on Hollywood are going to become a reality in the very city and in the very schools that you're operating in. So you can imagine the hysteria. And it really gave me a perspective, because I had just been in that one big, huge high school, drove out as the smoke was rising from the city. It was pretty awful. It's one of those things that does, it kind of leaves you speechless. Needless to say, in that, with those two candidates, the one principal candidate, he withdrew. I don't even know what happened to him. The other candidate, because of the circumstances, the university took in some special consideration, and he was able to get his evaluations done with me interviewing him over the phone, which I've not been able to do with any other candidate before or after. But in God's providence, everybody was taken care of, and I learned a great deal about the Great American Public School. Well, we're talking about the Great American Public School, and we have to take a break right here, and we'll be right back.
This is Raising Godly Girls with Patty Garibay of American Heritage Girls.
These statistics will break every parent's heart. Did you know suicide is the third leading cause of death between ages 12 and 22? Every day in America, over 5,400 teens attempt to end their lives. The causes of suicide are numerous. Sometimes the root problem is that kids don't realize their infinite value to God. As parents, we can try to protect our girls from the path of suicide by helping them see themselves through God's eyes. Day by day, instill your child with a biblical view of who they are. Teach your kids often that God loves them deeply and has a special plan for their lives. The more our kids know and believe God's truth about themselves, the more likely they will live happily and securely in His abiding care.
To learn more about Raising Godly Girls, visit AmericanHeritageGirls.org.
Like a little child, the toddler stood looking out at the waves. He seemed mesmerized. As he dashed toward the water, his father followed. As the waves rolled toward him, the toddler ran back. Then he noticed the 2-foot cliff of sand behind him. He ran to it and tried to climb up, but with every tiny foothold, the sand gave way. He tried harder, grabbing the top of the cliff with his hands and then going to another part of the cliff. It was no use. With frustration, he cried and flung himself at the cliff, face into the sand. He wanted up, but how? His father came behind him and carved some steps out of the sand. The toddler still needed his feet guided into the etched steps, and his father held his hands under the toddler's feet to ensure that he would make it to the top. In 2 seconds, the toddler was at the top and running on the smooth plateau of sand with his father running behind him. I watched this spiritual experience between father and son, the toddler's sense of self-accomplishment and the father's amusement. Like a little child, the spiritual journey of infants and toddlers. For more information, go to educationcurrents.org. Welcome back. We've been talking about the Great American Public School, and we had just finished up a segment on my experience at a high school in the inner city, and we're now going to move to an elementary school. And in this particular elementary school, I was observing a special ed teacher candidate, and this woman was... And I think I mentioned her before because she's had such an impact on my life. She had worked as a paraprofessional in the special ed classrooms throughout the whole school and at other schools. I mean, she was very dedicated to helping young people in spite of what challenges they had. And I loved her spirit. The first day that I came, she was just dressed beautifully, and I mentioned it. I said, you know, I just love how you've tied your scarf. You just look so professional. I mean, that's one of the things that we do encourage, that they dress professionally. And she just beamed, and she said, I really tried my best today to look professional because I knew you were coming. So the first day that I observed her, she was in a first grade classroom, and they had all the students just come up and, you know, go ah, eh, eh, every sound of every letter, very, very rote, just like you would do, just like you would imagine in those one teacher, one classroom schools way back in where the kids learned a lot by rote. And so the kids were doing that, and it was, you know, perfectly appropriate. The second time that I went, she was actually in a special ed classroom. There were six students, all different ethnic groups, Caucasian, Asian, African American, and there were three additional paraprofessionals. There was a big man and a woman, and then there was another room that I didn't know about at the time. But as I sat there, they were working on place value, and it was a neat PowerPoint that the teacher was showing how money and how it worked with place value, and which would you rather have, you know, if all your dollars were over in this stack, you would have $100, or if you just had $10 over here, you only had $10, which would you like? And one of the little boys, he was kind of fidgeting in the front, but you could tell he really liked this lecture on money. And I would say that they probably were in maybe the third or fourth grade. And at some point, the teacher just stops and she goes, "Oh, Billy, it's time for your break." And he goes, "I don't want to take a break." She goes, "No, it's time for your break. I don't want to take a break." "No, you have to take a break now." So he didn't get up. I didn't know what the break meant. But the next thing I knew is the big man came over and physically lifted this kid up and dragged him to the back room. By now, the kid was yelling at the top of his voice, "I don't want to take a break." When he gets back in the room, I hear another voice, an adult voice. Every time the kid would yell, "I don't want to take a break," this adult would yell, "I don't want to take a break." And this is going on, very disruptive. And so then the other students, remember, there's six children, third or fourth graders, and there are four adults in this room. There's the main teacher, the cooperating teacher, the student teacher, and two paraprofessionals. And then this other adult that's back in the break room. And so then the girl that had been sitting beside this little boy, she jumps up and she starts running around the room. "He shouldn't have to take a blank and break." And so one of the lady paraprofessionals is running after her. And the other man has just finished dragging out the little boy. And the head office comes and says to the cooperating teacher, the head teacher that's teaching this student how to be a good special ed teacher, is called to the office. Right in the middle of this chaotic thing. And the head teacher says to the lady I was observing, to my teacher candidate, "Would you please take over?" And that teacher did such a beautiful job of taking over. I mean, the kids just calmed down. She got them all back on task. She didn't miss a beat. And it was just, you could see her spirit having such an impact on these students. And when we, you know, there were two other times more that I was in the classroom with her. When the university was making the decision, they go, "You know, she doesn't present herself well in her written work. She has a hard time with that." I really went to bat for her. I go, "She is a talented teacher. She will be a fantastic special education teacher. So if she needs to do extra work, I'll work with her. If she needs to do extra assignments, but I mean, this woman needs to succeed." And she was so happy. A few months later, she actually emailed me her diploma. She had graduated, and she is now a special education teacher.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's some of these success stories that really, you know, there are some wonderful experiences that I've had where I was just walking along and I would have a teacher stop me and say, would you pray with me? And I would, you know, I love the opportunity to pray. I think that our public schools have so many sincere Christians working in them and students that are sincere Christians, that, and they're the missionaries. They don't have the, they can't overtly talk about God anymore, even though the public school system is rooted in a religious culture. They can't talk about it anymore, but they can still walk the walk. And therefore, I still call it the Great American Public School, because out of it is coming great Americans, and children that didn't have opportunities are given opportunities to be more than even what they can be just with what their families can provide for them. So it gives you courage, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
I think that we need more positive stories, even though I know I've told some that, you know, are maybe not so positive. But we need more of the positive stories of teachers that go far beyond. They don't have the resources even that private school teachers have, as far as buying bulletin board things, decorations and stuff. They really, each teacher has to find the funding for that.
I can remember a story you related at one of your collegiate classes. I think he was teaching math, and one of the students came up to you and said she appreciated so much because you explained it in a way that she could understand it. And this is something we have to be very mindful of as teachers or administrators or whatever. There is more than one way of learning. And you've taught me that from all the classes you've been taking on and stuff. So,
you know, when I first started out teaching, there were times where I would have a student that really probably rubbed my last nerve. You know, they were not the lovely student. They were the irritating student. And I remember really praying about that. Lord, help me to see this student through your eyes, because I don't get them. I can't reach them, and I can't fake it. They know that I don't get them. And miracles would happen where I would really love that child, and loving that child made all the difference. And I think that when we see others through the eyes of God, it makes all the difference in whatever walk of life that we do. And I could share more stories, but we are running to the end of our time here. I hope that as you think about your experience as a student or as an educator, that you might go to our Facebook page and share it with us, or call us at 301-824-3162 and share with us, because we need to be much broader in what we think of as education. We need to encompass those that are being homeschooled, those that are going to public school, those that are going to church school. We need to encompass and support whoever God has placed in our circle. And with that, in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. We have one last thing to say, and that is, God bless.
You have been listening to Education Current, a production of MRG Media Ministries. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.